let me open up in prayer. You know, God is worthy of it all. But really, is he? We can sing, and we can say we praise him, but is he worthy of it all? Is he really worthy of it all? Lord God, we come this morning and Father, we thank you for this day. For this is the day in which you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Lord God, I denounce every hindering spirit. I bind up every demonic attack in the name of Jesus Christ. I put you on notice. Devil, you cannot come. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over the doorpost right now. I place it there in the name of Jesus Christ. I say no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I say that we will receive all that God has for us today, Lord God. Have your way in our lives. Have your way in our hearts. Have your way in our minds. Have your way in our body. Have your way in us, Lord God. We give ourselves to you as a living sacrifice in our reasonable service, Lord God, to honor and to praise and to worship you and to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and we praise you. Have your way. Lord God, may I be hid. Lord God, may I not be seen. May everything that I say be God-breathed, God-directed, and God-anointed, Lord God. May you receive the glory and the honor in everything, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I tell you, after those songs, God was moving. I felt his anointing. I felt his presence. I felt his glory. If you didn't feel it, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Because he's here. He says, where there's two or more gathered in my name. So if you don't feel him, that's on you. April the 23rd, I gave this particular message, revive me once again, pray and seek my face. But I did not finish it. I didn't even get to the 3 points. I can't remember what was happening. I know a lot of prayer went forth. But this actually is an 8-part sermon that I delivered quite a few years ago. Basically, it is talking about revival. Now, I will tell you this. You don't have to be in the spirit to recognize that we are in some dark times. Even if you don't know God, you know something is wrong. Amen. Something is wrong. We have opened up a Pandora box of worms. God told us to be ye separate. Worship no other God. Our nation was founded upon the principles of the Word of God. We mentioned this yesterday during prayer. We talk about the forefathers. They're not my forefathers. Just to let you know this, you are speaking, listening up by YouTube. We got to keep it right. Those that we call forefathers, guess what they had when they came here? They had slaves. George Washington had him. The history books don't teach these things. But nevertheless, in spite of their wickedness and sin, they founded this nation upon the word of God. It's not about perfectness.
No.
None of us are perfect.
No.
God uses us in spite of our imperfections.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you.
So we are in a dispensation, in this season, in this time. I've just got to say it. I was upstairs about two days ago. And I came downstairs. I wasn't even praying. I was upstairs trying to get my little self together. I had just woke up groggy and everything. And I don't talk in the morning, just to let you know. Ain't a whole lot of talking going on with Pastor Mike. Got to get my coffee in me. I have to eat my breakfast. Still, I'm not really rolling until 12 o'clock. So I remember when I worked at Patrick here, they used to make a joke, don't mess with him. He's not awake until 12 o'clock. I'm upstairs. And I hear the Lord speak in my spirit. Grab hold of this. You either get praying or you get to dying. Why don't many of us want to pray? Jesus said, my house you call a house of prayer. We make it, we who have been doing this for a minute or two, we make prayer too complicated. Ain't nothing complicated about prayer. Ain't nothing complicated with talking with my wife. Oh, okay. People, all prayer is natural beings seeking to communicate with the supernatural God. That's all it is. But you got to know how to talk to him. My children just don't come to me anyway and talk to me anyway like they do their friends. Well, they might try to now because they call themselves adults. But daddy still got something for them. That's all prayer is. I can't get away from it. I can't get away from the elementary truths of the Word of God. So let's go to Jonah 3, 1:10. I'm not going to go over everything. I'm just going to recapitulation of what I did before. Ministered on April the 23rd. Jonah 3, verses 1 through 10. And the word came unto Jonah the second time. Let me tell you, God is a God of second chances, of third chances, of fourth chances, of fifth chances. I don't even know how many chances he's given me since I've been walking with him. But how many times when a brother or sister wrong us do we write them off? Go ahead, now don't put up with no foolishness. God says, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. God is love. Now, don't get it twisted. He don't put up with no foolishness, neither should we. But it's all about the heart of the matter. See, the most important thing about us as believers of God, once we come to walk with God, is to be like God. We'll never be God. But the more time we spend, let me tell you, if you don't like people, you need to spend more time with Jesus. Amen. Amen. I just don't like folk. I just don't like people. Well, you need to spend more time with the Lord. Amen. Because without people, there is no ministry. Grab hold to that. We make excuses why we do not connect with the sheep. We make all kinds of excuses why we don't. Maybe you don't want the sheep to find out who you are. Are you hiding something? When I say sheep, we all are sheep,
right,
including me.
That's right.
Why do we not connect? As pastors, Jesus told Peter 3 times to take care of the sheep. He was trying to convey something. Buddy, whatever needs to be done, you better take care of my sheep that I died for.
That's right.
You either believe the word of God or it's a myth, a fable, a story. I'm here to tell you it's for real.
Amen.
Because God saved me.
Hallelujah.
Destined for hell. Destined. It's going to bust it wide open. Only God could transform me.
Hallelujah.
My wife couldn't do it.
That's right.
Her prayers, but she couldn't do it. My mama couldn't do it. My brother couldn't do it.
Right.
No preacher could do it. I gone to many churches. Only Jesus
Come on.
Could transform me. From a thief, from a killer, from a despiser of men, a person that despised Christians. I did not like them. I was very similar to Paul, very similar. I'll just tell you this and we're going to move on. I kept a lot of stuff from my wife. That I did. Literally, I kept a lot of stuff.
Amen.
Because if the police came to get me, I didn't want her to know nothing. But I told her some things a few years ago because the statute, not the statue that many folks say, the statue, there's no statue, it's the statute of limitations had ceased. Had run out. So I told her some things. She said, oh my God, who am I married to? I said, well, you said you want to be married to a pastor. I want a pastor then, though. She said, oh my God, why did you tell me this? I said, well, you need to know who you were married to and who you are married to now. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the God. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, had put on sackcloth from the greatest to them, even to the least of them. That's a sign of mourning, okay? Of submission, of submissiveness, of yieldedness. For the word of God came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe on him and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Thank God we don't sit in no ashes today. Be stinking. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, lest them not feed nor drink water. That's serious there. God has really spoken to the hearts. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mighty unto the Lord, unto God. Yea, let them turn away every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not. This is very applicable to today. I'm serious, to the United States. And God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented from the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did not do it. Our obedience to God can turn the wrath of God off. Very opposed to that. Our obedience to God can cause God to not do what he said he was going to do. He has to obey his word. God is a God that cannot lie, and he is subject to his word. Anyhow, the last time I ministered this, I mentioned in 1857, there was a 46-year-old man named Jeremiah Lampier who lived in New York. Now, this individual, he had begun to pray and pray and pray for New York City. He prayed and prayed. More individuals began to join in his prayer. Soon there was a great outpouring of revival in New York City. Amen. There have been many outpourings of the Spirit of God throughout the existence of mankind. It's throughout the Bible. There are many revivals that have taken place in the Word of God. And understand that the Word of God, God is always talking to his children. He's always talking to us. He's talking to me. You say you love me, but why are you doing this, Michael? I'm going to tell you this. The saints in the Word of God were no different from you and I. They had frailties, shortcomings. They were no super saints. Look at King David. What he did. Think about this. This massive sin that he was in. But yet Jesus still comes out the lineage, the blood of King David. You look at Noah. God deemed this as a righteous man, his family. He saves the whole family, destroys the whole earth. Now this man is either on the boat making wine, or he done bought wine, or he done made wine when he got off the boat and go in the mountain and get drunk and he's naked. Let's not get it twisted. It's not about what you do. It's about your heart. Because we all going to miss it. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. You're going to miss it from time to time. But when you miss it, do you grieve? Do you mourn because you are out of the will of the Lord? Sin is what separates our relationship with God. Do you grieve when you get so angry and you don't curse somebody out? And you can just go on about your merry way? Let me tell you something, folks. Don't get too righteous up in here. Y'all have heard this testimony before. I remember my wife and I we were living in Mechanicsville. And some of you probably haven't heard this. I'll tell on myself, I don't care. First off, I'm about as perfect as you can get outside Jesus Christ. Just joking. Y'all quiet on this one. I remember my wife and I had gotten this bad argument. I have no idea what we were arguing about this day. It's in the middle of the night. And I can't remember how long I've been saved. few years, maybe 5, 6, 7 years, something like that, we move into the neighborhood and we're being a testimony in the neighborhood, pretty much all white neighborhood. They had never lived around blacks before. So I love stuff like that. I like to be a role model and to be an example and to prove the devil wrong. Well, this particular day, I won't prove him too wrong. And we got in this bad argument. And I got so mad, I probably did curse. I do know how to curse. I just choose not to. Don't think you don't know how to curse. Y'all act like y'all too righteous. I'm so, about everybody in this place has cursed. Oh, looking at me like, oh. Come on now. Let's get it twisted. I was so mad at that girl. She was so mad at me. I got in my Audi 5000, got in that car, jumped in that, put on the gas, gravel going everywhere. I remember this just like, I just don't remember what we were arguing about. She don't either. I got in the car, never forget it, got to the stop sign, and there was a 7-Eleven across the street. And was like, the devil here, and Jesus here. Go over there, get you some. You haven't drunk anything for a long time. You deserve it. She done made you mad. You're not going to hell. Go ahead and get it. I ain't never been a big man. I'm about as large I've ever been in my entire life. That ain't saying nothing. I'm 175, 180. So no telling what I was back then. 150? 160? I sat there. And I can't remember what time they closed. Stopped selling wine and beer. 11, 12 o'clock. I sat there and looked. No, I can't go over there because what if neighbors come in there and see me? Well, you know who won out on that one, because I was in the flesh. I won't in no spirit. But I went across that street, got out that car. I bought a 6-pack of Slitz malt liquor, 16 ounces. Yeah, tell me about it. Mm-mm. We lived on Mechanicsville Turnpike, Cherrydale. I put that 6-pack in right beside me, drove all the way to Tappahannock. That's how mad I was. I literally drive all the way to Tappahannock drinking the beer. Let me tell you, by the time I get back, I have drunk the whole 6-pack. Each beer was 16 ounces. Oh, my God. I was sitting down, so I didn't know I was drunk. I went to get up out that car. I was like, oh, Lord. So I get home. I'm not even mad no more. I ain't mad. I'm just as happy. All of a sudden, no. Here come the churning in the gut. I run in that house. Grab that toilet like it was my wife. Everything came up. She was still mad, though. And the girl told me, she said, when you got in that house and I saw you at that toilet and you supposed to be a man of God, I wanted to kick you. I told God, I said, because I hadn't put anything on my stomach. And the lining of my stomach was messed up. I knew, because I used to drink. I said, God, you get me through this. I ain't never drinking like this no more. That thing, I was messed up for days until my stomach healed. What am I saying? We miss it. We make mistakes.
Yes.
But pick yourself up.
That's right.
Get yourself up out of your stupor and get on with God.
That's right.
I shared that because some of you are struggling with issues. Don't let the devil beat you down. Don't let him beat you down. You can make it.
Hallelujah.
You can make it. You can make it. So anyhow, let's go. Let's keep on going here. All right, what I want to talk about is the three characteristics of revival prayer. The first characteristic is characterized by our brokenness. See, God wants all of us. We have to be broken in order for God to move and to use us. It's no place for pride. This ain't no place for arrogance, for being puffed up. This just ain't the place if you really want to serve God. We have to stay broken because our bodies, some of you may not have known this, your body ain't saved. Your body ain't saved. Your body still want to sin. The spirit is willing, the flesh, your physical body, it ain't going to heaven. Going back to the dirt. Your body still wants to do some things that contradicts the word of God. And so the way we overcome this is we spend more and more time with God and our sisters and brothers. Don't just spend time with just anybody, but sisters and brothers that will tell us the truth, that will help to sharpen our iron. Let me tell you, there are Christians that are carnal Christians. They're called carnal Christians. They're saved, but they don't act it, they don't look it, and they don't talk it. Revival prayer is characterized by brokenness. That is what the king meant when he said, but let man and beast be covered in sackcloth. He wanted the whole city to be covered in sackcloth to show God. And God knew that. It's about the heart of our matter. There are many that may do good things, but their heart's not right. There are some that may not do much of anything, but their heart is right. See, God says, I am the one that knows the intent of a man's heart. So let's look back at verse 5. It says, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. When Jonah preached, everyone started to fast. My second sermon that I preached, this is the third sermon. If my people will humble themselves, there's something about humility when you come to God. It's no place in pride. Many times when God, this is how we can always see when God uses an individual. We are our brother's keepers. When God uses an individual, keep your eyes on them to make sure that pride don't sneak in. That's what happened to Satan. That pride got into him. He thought he was all that in a bag of chips because God used him. We have to stay humble because it's all about God. It's all, let me tell you, I don't care how much God has used you, you ain't nothing. I am nothing. Because God uses us in spite of our messes or our stuffies. That's why it's no place. God has given us, shown us through the word of God that when we are in ministry, it's no place for pride. Because eventually, you're going to fall. That's what the word says. Now, how long it's going to take? All right, so fasting is the Old Testament way we humble ourselves. The way we show we are broken. The way we show we are desperate. And that is what God is looking for. We leave out many components in the Word of God. And we're wondering, why God? Why God? Why God? Why God? We don't hear much about fasting. It's in the Bible. I want to tell you, it ain't fun. If you're saying you don't like it, I don't know nobody that does. I like to eat. I love to eat. I like to eat in the morning. I like to eat in the noonday. I like to eat in the evening. I like to get my little snack. I like to, whatever program I'm watching, I like to get me my little cake or ice cream. I like to eat. So don't think that fasting is easy for anybody. But how bad do you want God? It's like prayer. I don't like prayer. Well, you don't like talking to God then. I don't want to pray. Well, what's your problem? That's what the word says.
Hallelujah.
I can't get away from the word of God. See, God didn't ask my opinion on this thing here.
Hallelujah.
We just have to obey. You find yourself in a bunch of sin, a bunch of mess, your flesh acting up. You need to spend time with Jesus. You need to get in your prayer closet. Possibly put yourself on a fast. You don't want to hear that, but how bad do you want him? Do you want more of his glory on your life when you go out into the highways and byways? We are spirit beings and flesh beings. Whatever one you feed the most will be the one that will stand at the forefront when the rubber meets the road. That's right. Straight up. We think we all that in a bag of chips until the devil trip us up. I remember that testimony. We think we all that. I'm doing good. Next thing you know, oh, Lord. It's like you, almost like we've taken three steps backwards. We better check ourselves. We have to. God has said, if my people will humble themselves, keep in mind, this is an 8-part series talking about revival.
Amen. Amen.
God says the first thing that he is looking for in our prayers is humility. It's nothing worse than hearing a Christian pray and you can hear that spiritual arrogance. Or you can hear the spiritual pride coming out of that prayer. I was like, bro, you just need to shut up. It's nothing worse than that because nothing's moving in the atmosphere. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. In Exodus 33, the Bible says that when the people heard the Lord had left them, they began to mourn and nobody put on any ornaments. They were broken. They were broken. Let's take another peek at, let's look at Nehemiah 9:1-2. Now, in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and with earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. Now that's revival prayer. We in this land, we do need an outpouring of God's Spirit. We have opened our land to false gods. God's a jealous God. He's a God of wrath, the God of discipline. We have lost our fear of God. I'm here to tell you that we live in a country where we do have our freedom. But there is wickedness here. We become desensitized to it. Because this is where we live. Look at TV. My wife and I were talking just last night. Who would have thought 40 years ago that we would have commercials of women modeling on the screen underwear? I haven't seen this one. She told me, honey, they have a commercial where they're showing the pubic hair and they're shaving the hair. You tell me that's not wicked. You tell me. I can go on with a bunch of stuff. These kind of things is why our country is where it is. Pastors sleeping in the churches. Pastors have many of these big time. They have a bedroom in the church. What do you need a bedroom in your church? Sleeping with members in the churches. Robbing from the congregation. We're supposed to be righteous. And we're wondering what's happening. We've taken prayer out of school. And God, we trust, we want to take that off of the money. I'm here to tell you, most of the politicians, everybody's trying to figure out what to do. It's sin. We need to come back to God. Amen. That's what it is. Amen. We need to come back to God. But most people like the sin. I'm talking Christians.
Well, amen.
Remember what Jesus said about two men who went to the temple to pray. Amen. This is why there it's no place for arrogance and pride. Amen. One guy struts his stuff, amen, And he says, God, I'm glad I'm not like most people. I'm religious and proud of it. And he lists all the good things that he has done for God. This is why I always, and you've heard me say this, when you do good, keep your mouth shut. Why do you got to tell people that you've done something good? Just do it. Why do you got to tell somebody that you done something good? That's totally against the word of God. You don't believe the word of God. God says that whatever you do in secret, stop telling people that you done this and done this and done that and done this. I really don't want to hear it. Because I'm discerning something completely different. You're walking in pride. Or you have low self-esteem. Why do you got to let everybody know what you're doing? You got low self-esteem. Because I don't have to tell nobody I'm a man. Well, I'm a man. I'm a man. I'm a man. No, I just walk as a man. You don't have to tell people that you are a woman. You're a woman. Low self-esteem. Just do. Don't tell nobody. Just do it. We're supposed to do these things, people. We're supposed to love people. We're supposed to. I wanted to let you know it ain't just for the pastor to love. I was praying. Let me tell you something. It's not good enough to just come to church. It's good that we come to church. Don't get me wrong. It's more to it than that. What I'm about to say, it is not about numerical numbers. I know God said, the devil ain't going to say nothing like this. God said, why should I expand your borders if you don't even take care of the sheep that you got now? That ain't from the devil. Because he don't want us to take care of one another. That's, I know what God said. I don't like these things when he speaks these things to my spirit. But it is true. If we can't love each other unconditionally, why is he going to bring somebody else in here for me to mess them up? Well, I don't like people. Don't tell that stuff to me because I'm going to address it. I'm going to address it. I said, you need to come to prayer. You need some anointing. You need to be prayed over. Because ministry is about souls, people. And we all are in the ministry of reconciliation of Jesus Christ. I don't mean to be screaming at you. Well, yeah. The second guy. The first guy, haughty, puffed up, arrogant. He listening to his prayers, how eloquent his prayers are, and all this other foolish stuff. He's probably what people do. The second guy said, there is nothing worthy about me. Nothing worthy about me, oh my Lord. I'm a sinner. Please have mercy. God uses us in spite of. It's all about the heart of the matter. You know what the intention of your heart is. You know. I don't know. Now, many of us lie and deny that's what's in our heart. The question is, who did God hear? The one with many words? The good stuff he done said that he done done, he naming it out to God. Like God don't know. Out of the abundance of the heart, that pride, that arrogance, look at what I did. I'm not like the rest of them. Oh, no, no, no. I'm above them. No. Because of that, you are below them. I think most people today are actually pretty satisfied with the state of the church. I'm speaking in the United States. Are you satisfied with the state of the church today? We look at various things. Believe it or not, I don't watch very many Christian programs. I really don't. I hear quite often a bunch of foolishness. If you sow this, you sow that. I don't want to hear that. It's all about our hearts. It's what I call Christian Hollywood. And many people fall to that. Do you think the church in America today is pretty healthy? I'm not talking numbers. Because the church can be packed. See, we live in the richest country, and majority of the time, people really want to hear a tickling word. The scripture talks about that. We don't want the truth. Really, the truth will set us free if we listen and hearken unto it. We want a word. You getting ready to come into $1 million. You getting ready to get a brand new house. I'm going to tell you right now, you better go back to the Word of God and read about the prophets, the major and the minor prophets. Ain't nothing like that coming out their mouth. God always send a prophet to deal with the sin nature and to speak, thus saith the Lord. Amen. What profit is for me to make $1 million, get $1 million, and my heart is wretched? Coming to church and I'm still judging you. Don't want to talk to you. But God give me a blessing with $1 million. Don't want to look at you. Oh, well, they didn't speak to me today. You better get a check on yourself. God ain't fooling around with us no more. God's not playing with us. I'll tell you why we're fairly satisfied with the church today is because we are comparing today's church to the world and not to the New Testament church. As long as we compare ourselves to the world, we will always feel pretty good about ourselves because we are a little bit more moral and a little bit less perverse than they are. But when we compare ourselves to the New Testament church and to the Word of God, there is only one thing for us to do. That is to humble ourselves in brokenness and pray for God to come. Only God can heal this land. Your heart and this physical land where we dwell. To the angel, the divine messenger of the church of Sardis, write, these are the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a name, a reputation that you are alive. But in reality, you are dead. Revelation 3:1. Read it. Ask God to give you understanding and revelation on that. Is this where the church is today? Revival prayer is not people who are willing to. Revival prayer is not for people who are unwilling to mourn and to be burdened. People, we need to be burdened for the souls. We need to mourn and grieve and travail for our brothers and sisters. Be careful when you say you've been called into ministry. Most people, when they get saved, everybody think they called into ministry. Not necessarily. That's why we have such a bad, that's why we have so much mess. Because there are many individuals that are pastoring, and God never called them to be a pastor. Let me just put it out there for you, especially you who are looking for a church, been searching. God doesn't call those that are qualified. He qualifies those that he called. What do I mean by that? When God calls you to be a pastor, he will supernaturally give you a love for his sheep. You ain't got to ask for it. It's a gift that God puts in you. Why would God call you to do something that you are not able to do in your natural? Come on. When God calls you, you are instantly, you have a supernatural love for the sheep of God. You have a supernatural joy, even with those that are messed up. It don't matter. It don't, as Pastor Ann used to say, whatever God calls you to do, it is not grievous. Don't mean it ain't hard, but you can't help it. You called to be an evangelist? You can't help but evangelize. Now, don't get me wrong. Doesn't mean that when God calls you, that you accept the call. Now, it's for every individual. You may decide, because God spoke to you, God, I want to further my education. Nothing wrong with that. To be the best possible pastor that you can be for God's sheep. Now, it ain't for this. It ain't for this. It is so that you can be the best possible pastor. God supernaturally gifts us whatever he has called us to do. Whether you're a preacher, a prophet, a teacher, an evangelist, whatever it is. Pat Robinson just passed. My mentor passed a few weeks ago, but maybe a month or two ago, Charles Stanley. That was my mentor, literally. I learned to pray through Charles Stanley's teachings and his preachings. I loved him because he wasn't a prideful man. He was intelligent, had his master's, had his doctorate, but you never know it. He preached with the simplicity of a preacher. Why? So that the most elect can understand and so the babies can understand. But yet he was one of the most gifted photographers. Most of you may not have known that. He is a well-known photographer. Awesome. Revival prayer is characterized by urgency. Do you have an urgency for prayer? When God puts something on your spirit, do you have that urgency to pray for your sisters and brothers? That's really what it's about. To intercede. See, we all can intercede. We all are not intercessors. There's a difference. You who may not understand what an intercessor is, stand up, Sister Linda. There we go. I ain't doing that to put her on the spot or make her look good. I understand, and I told her this. I understand why she and Pastor Ann were prayer partners. Ain't no foolishness to wake up at whatever, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and pray. I don't even need to ask her. I know most times she don't want to get up. It ain't about that. Hallelujah. The spirit is willing. We want it to be comfortable. God don't care nothing about this thing here. He don't care nothing about this. I'm going to wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't feel like a God. Get up. Not realizing God is going to supernaturally sustain us. And he's going to provide the opportunity for you to take a nap. Cat nap. An intercessor is compelled. They can't help it. They are compared. They're the watchmen on the wall. They bind up the adversary. They stir up the atmosphere. They put the devil on the run. They plead the blood of Christ over the body of Christ. They get upon their knees and they cry out, Abba, Father. They stand in the gap on your behalf. Amen. Thank you, Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Revival prayer is characterized by urgency. The king of Nineveh said, I want to put on sackcloth and I want you to call urgently to God. It's an emergency right now. Dial 911 God. We are in an emergency situation in our school systems, in our judicial system, in our neighborhoods, in our churches. We have to call on God with an urgency, 911. We need you, God. We can't do it because we can't. We can't do it. We might think we can. We might think we have all the answers. We don't have the answers. We have to have an outpouring of God's Spirit upon this land. Urgently means with a sense of emergency, with intensity. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The powerful, intense prayer of a man or woman that is in right standing with God produces great and mighty results. People who pray revival prayers are those people, who pray long, hard, intense, and unyielding prayers from the very depths of their heart. Forget about trying to pray these cute little prayers. It's time we get dirty. It's time we begin to sweat. People, we are in spiritual warfare. What we see happening throughout the world, I hear some of you talk, and you're so far from the Spirit, it's devastating. We wrestle not against what? Why do we forget this? Why do we forget we are in a spiritual warfare? Because you ain't walking in the Spirit. You might think you are. There is good and evil. There's God. There's the adversary. The power of darkness, who calls Satan, who calls a third of the angels of all. That's a mighty number. It's a number that we can't even fathom. There's a war going on in the atmosphere. The only way we will be able to deal with this is to walk and pray in the Spirit. The solution, I'm here to tell you, the solution is God. It's the heart of men, the wickedness of mankind. That's why God destroyed this earth. Wickedness. Wickedness. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. You done heard it. You done heard it 1,000 times, but you ain't heard it. You done heard it, but you haven't heard it. You have not heard it. Oh, I heard this message before. No, you ain't. Too many of us want to have this fresh revelation, and you ain't done nothing with the old revelation. Wickedness. Ain't nothing new. We think it's new because we're living in this time and we have different weaponry. But wickedness. Wickedness. The wickedness of mankind. That's why we need Jesus. We take Jesus out of the equation. What do you think gonna happen? Once again, people who pray revival prayers are those who pray long, hard, intense, unyielding prayers from the depths of their hearts. One person calls this full throttle prayer. Okay. The third point, revival prayer is characterized by holiness. Holiness. The king of Nineveh said, I want you to put on sackcloth and I want you to pray urgently to God and I want you to give up your evil ways. Once again, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If you will humble yourselves, that's once more, that's brokenness. If you will pray and seek my face, that is an urgency. And if you will turn from your wicked ways, people, that's holiness. We all have to do this. None of us are exempt from this. If you think you're exempt, I feel sorry for you because you have hardened your heart. It's more so for the leaders. It's more so for the leaders. Judgment first comes and it trickles down. Revival comes and it trickles down. None of us are exempt. I don't have a monopoly on God. Amen. My wife doesn't have a monopoly on God. You don't have a monopoly on God. You don't have a monopoly on God. You don't have a monopoly on God. Sometimes I think you do. He says, I chastise those that I love. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. For he will freely pardon. That's out of Isaiah 55, 6, 7. I've got to reiterate, God is talking to his children. Too many times in the scriptures, God is bringing the word wickedness, 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 evil ways. Don't let it go above your head. Let God show you any evil way that is in you. Harden not your heart today, people. Resist not what God is saying. If God is revealing to you, yield to him. Or it don't apply to me. Then you must be Jesus Christ reincarnated. Harden not your hearts. David said in Psalms 66, 18, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. I'll tell you one thing. The chief thing that won't let revival come to America, and that is the church will not confess sins and get itself holy. The church, for the most part, has become worldly, has allowed the world in. As the scripture says, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. God has not promised to respond to the prayers of people who cherish sin in their hearts. Don't ever cherish it in your heart. Don't cherish it. Don't hold on to it. Don't make excuses. How many times do we make an excuse because of the unrighteousness within us? Well, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter what has ever been done to you. There is never any right to sin. You find that in the Word of God. It ain't in there. Bless those that persecute, bless and curse not. confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's James 5:16. It doesn't say prayer is powerful and effective. Okay? It doesn't say prayers of men are powerful and effective. It says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. God will forgive, heal, and hear when holy people pray, when humble people pray. Something about prayer we can't get away from. We can preach, we can teach, we can evangelize. All that is to no travail. It just isn't worth anything if we don't cry out to God and ask Him to come, to heal our land. Lift up your holy hands in prayer. As it said in 1 Timothy 2:8. Lift up your holy hands to prayer. I've talked about holiness. I talked about sin. Righteousness. Holy hands to prayer. Actually, hands is not the point in this verse. The point of this verse is the word holy. Because I watch us. Because we lift our hands, that don't make me holy. See, we can mask holiness. We can do certain things that appear to be holy and it's not. The point of this verse is the word holy. God is looking for holy people to start praying for this nation. That is how revival comes. Don't pray for revival. Pray for God. That God, because when God comes, He brings everything that we need. When He comes on the scene, He comes on the scene as a consuming fire. And when God really comes in all of His glory and all of His power, we all will fall on our faces. We ain't talking in the church. We ain't laughing in the church. We ain't judging nobody. I'm telling you, if you've never been in the Shekinah glory of God where He has come in all of His glory, I'm telling you, it's something. It's like a deep cleansing. It's a deep cleansing. Are you truly ready? Well, let me ask you this. I wonder if we are ready to do business with God. Because it costs us something. It may cost you your sleep. It may cost you time. It even may cost you some of your relationships that ain't really healthy for you nohow. May cost you your job. It says, count the cost. Whom much is given. If we are serious about being God's people and about God being found in our lives in a most powerful way, we must make sure that our hands are holy. Our hearts are pure. Are we truly ready to do business with God? Let me tell you what I've learned thus far. Past revivals declared that God will visit when he is genuinely invited. Amen. The real question is, do we really want God to come? Because there's some things that we like. We all like. And we may have to give up. To be drawn back to God. All of us. All of us. None of us are exempt. This is a time where we do really need God. Not that we haven't. But I grieve for this next generation. I grieve for the next generation. We are living in a perverse nation. We don't want to. I shared this the other day, and I said that we look at other countries and we see wickedness. But I'm telling you, if I was in another country, and I were to look at the United States, I would be fearful for that country to come near me. Think about that. This is the land that we live, that we have allowed. Now, I'm going to say this. I got to say it. And I'm closing. A prime example is the perverseness that's in this nation. The sexuality that's in this nation. The homosexuality that we have allowed to just go rampant. Did you know, because we have embraced it, that if other countries don't follow suit, we begin to attack them. That's totally contradicts the word of God. You love the person, but you don't embrace the sin. I can name quite a few countries right now that refuses to embrace homosexuality, and we all up on them like white on rice. We think everything we do is right. We think everything that we do or we call law has to be the law of the world. If it doesn't line up with God, we in terrible mess. If we, whether you call it a revival, a visitation, an outpouring of God, we need him.
Amen. Amen.
I need him. All eyes closed, all heads bowed.